something for the weekend. Good morning, it's Trina Mara. Now, I told you during the week we were going to be talking today about a book you will not be able to put down. And the author of that book is Fiona Scarlett. The book is called Boys Don't Cry. Hi, Fiona. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Trina. Thanks so much for having me on and delighted to be here.
Come here. Not at all. But I was very bold during the week. I was trying to get you to Mitch from school to talk to me, wasn't I? So Fiona is a primary school teacher. And I said, maybe we'll pre-record an interview early in the week. And Fiona is such a good teacher that she said, nope, I'm not going to Mitch from school. Isn't that right, Fiona?
Oh yeah, it's difficult to get the space at the moment to get out, all right. Delighted you can do it now, so thank you.
And it must be, actually, never mind being an author, it must be lovely being a primary school teacher. I'm always saying how if I wasn't doing what I work at now in radio, that's exactly what I'd be a primary school teacher. Is it a lovely job?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, no, I absolutely love it. And one thing as well throughout this pandemic, the fact that for a lot of it, I know we were closed for a bit, for a lot of it, we were still able to keep that contact, you know, so it sort of helped that way as well. Because the online teaching, it was really, really tough, and it was tough on everybody. And I have kids myself as well at home. So it's great that we're back face to face again, you know, so it's brilliant that we're able to do that.
I'd say even the having to come to terms with all the technology that you were just thrown overnight, you just had to learn everything. It's a nightmare.
Yeah, and the age group that I'm with, I'm working in special ed at the moment. So I support children in the mainstream with additional needs as well as children in our special class. So the age group that I'm with at the moment is junior and senior infants. So trying to do that online was very challenging. So delighted to be back.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you know time now, you'd be off again. Sure, it's a great life, Fiona, isn't it? I think no mammy and daddy will ever say that again about a teacher. Should live a great life, because having experienced having their children at home during the pandemic, they're like, how do they do it, you know, from the homeschooling. So listen, primary school teaching aside, you're an author. Tell me about the book Boys Don't Cry.
Yeah, so the book, it's set in inner city Dublin, and it's centered around two brothers. So there's 12-year-old Finn and then there's 17-year-old Joe, and it's dual narrative. So Finn is detailing the events leading up to a tragedy, and then Joe is detailing the events and the aftermath of that tragedy. And I suppose it looks at choice and the choices we make in the aftermath of a tragedy, but also do circumstances such as where we're from or what our family do or our background, do they impact on the choices made available to us? So that's sort of the background to it, really.
So they're from a rough area, and they're kind of involved, well, their family are involved in some dodgy circles, to say the least.
Yes, their father is sort of the muscle for the local criminal drug gang in the area. So it's sort of set in a fictionalised terror block in Dublin, and Joe very much doesn't want to be anything like his dad. That's his number one thing, is he doesn't want to end up like his dad, and he's got a scholarship to a private school, and he just wants to keep the head down and get through school, get on with his life. But of course then tragedy strikes, and he's finding that really, really hard then to stick to cling to. Yeah.
Now, you've had a load of endorsements. Marion Keyes said, I can't remember ever reading something so moving. And everyone is saying this. They're saying you're going to be an emotional wreck, but it is life affirming. You won't want to put this book down. Where did you, or when did you come up with the idea for it?
Yeah, so the such original spark of an idea came from, it was a tweet on Twitter, obviously, a couple of years ago, about 3 years ago. And it was from a paediatric palliative care doctor. And he had tweeted, he had asked the children in his care what they'd missed the most when they died. So it was an incredibly moving tweet. And the first thing I did after reading was I opened up the laptop and I wrote the first chapter of the book. And the story was just sort of fully formed, even though that sort of sparked it. I had the idea then of the story sort of came straight away. And originally I thought I was going to write it about Finn and his mother, Annie. But then when I actually went down to write the rest of the story, it was just Joe that kept coming out. So it sort of, that's where the initial spark of the story came from that.
Is this your first book, Fiona?
It is, yeah. This is the first one, yeah.
Yeah. So like everybody kind of says that, oh, I'm going to write a book, but actually doing it is more difficult. Did you find along the way it was hard to keep going, or were you just in the mind frame to get it done?
Yeah, well, it was, I know somebody who always dreamed of being a writer or wanted to be a writer. I never thought it was something that I'd be able to do. It wasn't even really on my radar at all, to be honest. So it was only maybe about 5 years ago now that the idea came into my head. I don't even know where that idea came from. Like, I've always been a huge reader, like, absolutely love reading. I lived in the local library when I was growing up.
Yeah.
And I loved English in school, but funny enough, I actually don't remember any of the written elements and will even start around that at all, but I remember the plays in particular. I really loved the plays and the poetry, and I think I was drawn to the plays because of that character and dialogue and everything. That's just something that I know I was really drawn to.
Yeah.
So as I said, it's about 5 years ago, and I just said, no, I think this is something that I really want to do. So I joined a few little local writing groups and things like that. And then after a couple of years, decided that, no, I'm going to just see if this is something that I really do want to do. And I did MLit and creative writing then via distance learning with the University of Glasgow. And the reason I did the distance learning option was because I was working at the time. I've, you know, two children at home, and I wasn't in a position to give up work for a year or two to do a creative writing master's. And a lot of the ones that I was looking up here that I'd be able to access or travel to, even the part-time master's, the lectures were on during the morning, so it just didn't suit me and what I was doing. So I did that, and it was while I was in the middle of doing the MLit that I wrote the first chapter of this. And then I had to submit a portfolio of 20,000 words. So the opening 20,000 words of the book was what I submitted as part of my portfolio. So that sort of gave me the motivation to keep going as well.
Yeah.
I think if I hadn't had that deadline, or it was even just giving me the confidence as well to sort of trust in my writing. And a fabulous tutor just said, listen, you have to stop treating this as a hobby now. This is something that, you know, just go for it and write. So I did. And
believe in yourself, yeah.
That's what it is, yeah. Getting that sort of confidence, though, because I did music in college. I didn't do English. I had no experience with writing or anything at all like that. And I will say that you do not need to do a master's in creative writing if you want to pursue writing or if you want to get published. But for me, it just gave me that confidence, and it was sort of like admitting to myself as well that I want to be a writer too, and investing in it and investing that time in it as well.
Yeah, sounds really full on. How did you deal with the critique though? Because I'd say that would annoy me now if I was handing in a bit of my writing and somebody said, I don't like the way you did that, or that would drive me up the wall. I'd be like, well, that's the way I've written it.
Well, do you know, I know with somebody, I would much prefer someone said something to my face, honestly, than sort of not say it. So I've always been, and I think because I was so determined that this is what I wanted to do, and if they had turned around and said, listen, you're barking up the wrong tree here, that would have been okay. I would much prefer somebody told me honestly what they thought rather than not. And I think you learn as well when you're in that sort of environment where you're being critiqued a lot. You learn to sort of trust your gut a little bit more, and you learn to take what chimes with you as well, you know. So that's one thing I will say, is that you learn how to filter a little bit of what's helpful, I suppose.
A little bit of writing, though, it really is opinion, though, if somebody likes your style of writing or not. Because, I mean, there's so many published and really successful authors out there, and one person would say, oh, I don't like them at all. And then somebody, like, there are people out there who don't like J.K. Rowling, you know. So it's kind of just, I think it's personal taste, isn't it, if you like something or you don't.
Exactly, like, it's so subjective. Like, you know, my favorite books aren't going to be other people's favorite books, and books that, you know, people have absolutely raved about, I didn't connect with it. And I think it's that reader connection, and you don't know what it is in a certain book that makes it connect to it, but it's different for everybody as well. You know, it's the same with music, or it's the same with films or any of these type of things. And there is a book out there for everybody, but that doesn't mean that every book is going to be for every reader, you know. So
Of course. And I bet all the parents now of the children you look after, do they know that you're secretly a writer, or is it all top secret, or are they only finding out now on the radio?
Well, they know now, and my colleagues, they're fabulous on publication day, because I was working and they had a big cardboard cutout of me holding the book in the PE hall. And again, because of everything, we can't get together or celebrate properly at all. So it was just sort of socially distanced in the hall, which was really, really strange, because you want to be able to, you know, you want to be able to hug someone and say thank you and all that. So it's very strange not being able to celebrate with your friends or colleagues in that way. But it was really, really lovely. They've been so supportive, and children have told me their parents have bought the book, and parents have come up and let me know that they've read it. So they've been incredibly supportive. So it's been great.
Yeah. Oh, come here. So long as they buy the book, that's all we want. Well, listen, the book is available now. It is available in all the bookshops, really, isn't it, Fiona?
Yeah, it should be available in all your local indies and the bigger bookshops as well.
But I saw it on Eason's website as well there, so you'll definitely be able to get it. And come here, just finally, how did Marion Keyes come to write a note on it?
Well, the book was sent to her, my agent sent the book to her, and like that, I'm sure Marion gets sent, I don't know how many books she must get sent, hundreds and hundreds. Yeah, and she sent me a lovely personal message as well, which was like, it was absolutely like mind blown. Yeah. You know, and no, she's been really, really kind and really generous with her words about the book as well. So I don't take that for granted at all. I really appreciate the time she's taken, not only to read it, but then also to talk about it as well.
A great boost as well. Well, Fiona, congratulations on your debut book, Boys Don't Cry. If you get this book, I'm telling you, you will not want to put it down. And Fiona, if you ever want to do a job swap and you want to come in and be a radio presenter, I'll gladly go be a primary teacher to at least experience it for a day. I'll probably pull my hair out by the Friday. I wouldn't be able to cope. Listen, you're so good. Thanks so much. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. This is Something for the Weekend on Ireland's Classic Hits.